Well, Peggy and I were both seeking the Lord for what he wanted tonight. I didn't get anything until, this is, I texted you and said, finally, unlike you, darling, I had a myriad of things running through my mind, and I said, I don't know which one of these it is. So I leaned over and I picked up the book on the power of faith, and as I picked it up and started that, I felt that this was the Lord, where the place the Lord wanted me to go. A word I had received from Susan O'Mara, this was a few months ago. Part of that word, in fact, a good chunk of that word, said that the Lord was nailing me into a faith board. I had no idea what that meant. Nailing me, and it said nailing, which meant it was really, I felt like I was being pounded in. What are you saying? And I read an article in a magazine I get from Rick Joyner by Derek Prince, who wrote the book, and it was on faith. And I read it and I said, whoa, I need more. So I got the book and I waited for the Lord to tell me to open the book. And this is guiding me into where the Lord wanted me to go. And I immediately thought of that word that I got from Susan O'Mara. So as I went into the book and I thought, okay, where? And I just kept going until I finally felt peace. So the chapter he led me to is Faith Must Be Tested. And I don't think there's one of us here that are not experiencing a testing of our faith.
Amen.
Without exception. And he gives a pretty exciting and yet challenging explanation of the testing of faith. So I'm just going to go carefully through this chapter. It's not a long chapter, to hopefully give you something that will for you to sink your teeth into. He begins with the book of Romans in chapter 5, and he's basing this on verses 1 through 11, where Paul uses the word exult twice. Now, the first one is very easy for us to understand. We exult in hope of the glory of God. And I think that's where we all can exult and rejoice in. But in verse 3, Paul gives us a very different take and says, but we also exult in our tribulations. And I don't know about you, but exulting in my tribulations is not exactly something that makes me exult. And as you all know, I just went through a real, real hard trial with my husband. I wasn't exulting. It was a very great challenge. But the last few weeks of his life, something radically different happened to me. Very radical, that I just totally, oh God, it sure wasn't me. And I can remember the day I sat down next to him and the Lord removed everything from John, and all I could see was the person and all of his wounds, his hurts, his weaknesses, everything. And that's all I saw. And at that point, my heart just was ripped open and went in a totally new direction it had never been before. So obviously God, to me, this is where God was birthing a lot of faith that I had never experienced before, because I suddenly knew the direction that I needed to go with John. And I went in that direction. Because before this, it had been a lot of tribulation. Not that this wasn't tribulation, but it was of a different sort. So our tribulations can be hardship, persecution, loneliness, misunderstanding, poverty, sickness, bereavement. So why would Paul even suggest that we should exult? So thankfully, Paul gives us the reason, and that is in verses 3 through 5. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the first stage that we experience is perseverance. And I guess using the example I started out with, there certainly was an enormous amount of perseverance on my part because I really had no clue where I was going with John, what God was going to do, how he was going to do it. Just nothing until that day when that suddenly birthed. And I do believe that came through a lot of perseverance. And a word could also mean endurance. So perseverance is an essential aspect of our Christian character. And without it, we are not able to enter into many of God's choices, blessings, and provisions if we don't persevere and go through. That brings us to the second stage, which is proven character. And in this book, Derek explains that in the Greek, the word here is, I believe it's either dokim or dokaim, which could mean strength of character, a mature character, proof that we have stood the test. The word dokim is closely associated with metal that has stood the test of the crucible. I definitely felt that's where I was during that time. The third stage is hope. And this is not a wishy-washy hope, but it's the kind of strong hope, and it's a confident expectation of good, that as we go through the testing, that the good will be our end result. And the fourth stage is the love of God that has been poured out within our hearts. And that is the stage that I experienced with my husband. The love of God just poured out of me in measures I did not know existed. So I tasted this. So this far exceeds any disappointment, but it greatly exceeds any hope that God's final objective in dealing with our character is to bring us into an enjoyment of his divine love. And then again, Paul uses the word exult. We exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here again, we have a divine objective. God is not satisfied that our joy or our confidence should rest merely in what he has done for us, no matter how wonderful they are. God's purpose that we should find our final and highest satisfaction in nothing but him. That's our ultimate satisfaction, is God himself. And this would not be possible if we did not go through this process of character development. Because a sure mark of spiritual maturity is when God alone becomes both the source of our joy and the object of our highest devotion. In 1 Corinthians 13, which you all know is the love chapter, he put it in a different way of looking at this. He told us that love is the only thing strong enough to endure every test. And I can attest to that, that is exactly what happened to me. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So we now know that there is a bond between love and endurance. So faith leads to hope, and hope leads to love. We get the same idea from the book of James. The book of James tells us that the same concept of faith is developed by testing. Excuse me. In James 1, 2 through 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Paul tells us that we're to exult in tribulations, but James words it differently and says we are to count all our trials joy. Testing and testing alone is the only thing that produces endurance. That certainly was not the test that I would have picked that God allowed in my life. No way would I, but that's the one he allowed. And it's only through endurance that we can enter into the fullness of what God has for our lives. Peter also tells us that we are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So Peter gives us another look at this type of faith. And after I finished reading several chapters of this book, what happened was 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. I don't know about any of you, but this one fits. I certainly am still going through it. As though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Sometimes we think that going through this kind of fiery thing is, what's wrong with me? This doesn't feel like I'm a Christian. But Peter is telling us that on the contrary, testing of this kind is a necessary part of our Christian walk. It is essential for the purifying of our faith, just as though fire is needed to purify gold, fire is needed to purify our faith. Therefore, he tells us to keep on rejoicing. And I know that can be a challenge. Very definitely. In the days when they used to purify gold in a melting pot, the person that was doing the melting would keep looking into the pot. And until he saw his face in the gold, he didn't know it was pure. Well, that kind of tells us something, doesn't it? That as it gets hotter and hotter, and more purification goes on, what are we seeing? Behold, I have refined you. This is in Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And in the book of Zechariah, he says something very similar. And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. So in the New Testament, we learn that Peter, James, and Paul all emphasize that in the trials through which we pass, it is specifically our faith that is being tested. We know that after the Last Supper, Jesus warned Peter that he was going to go through quite a trial and that he would deny him, which Peter would not accept. But the Lord said something very interesting. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Nothing could stop that trial because the Lord had ordained it. But even so, all would not be lost. For all of us, same thing. A way would still be open for all of us to return, and as Peter did, and to confess his Lord once more on one condition, that his faith did not fail. That was what the Lord told Peter, and it's the same for us. As we go through any type of fiery trial, that it's your faith, you hold on to that, even though you fall, make some mistakes, say something you should, whatever it is, if you're still holding on to that faith, it's not going to fail. Same is true for all, because sometimes that pressure can be really, really hard. We may yield temporarily, we may grumble and complain or whatever it is, but we do have a way back, and that is our faith, which is the reason why it is called precious. And that's in 1 Peter 1:7. As long as we do not abandon our faith under pressure, we will be able to echo the words of Job in his hour of testing. But God knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Thank you, Lord. And in another area that we get testing is by the parable of the sower, where those seeds are planted in us. And what happens to those seeds when they are planted in us? In Matthew 13, 20 through 21, Jesus used some significant words. When affliction or persecution arises, he didn't say if, he said when. The question for each of us is not whether we will have to face these things, but whether our characters will have been so formed that we will come through them victorious with our faith intact. For this to happen, we must allow God's word to penetrate into the depths of our hearts, bringing everything into line with his will. There must be no rocky places. That seed needs to do the work, that there's no rocky places left anywhere within us to resist the application of the word. Am I there yet? No. I'm working my way through that, allowing the word to go in and letting it go in, do the work, that the rocky places are no more. And there's another group of tests that we go through with those seeds. The first thing that comes sometimes is when things are too hard or when they're too easy. As I read this, I realized that I fell into the things too easy. I suddenly realized I liked things easy. And I kept saying that to the Lord, but the Lord kept disputing. Oh, no, 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 no. They're not going to be easy. They're going to be hard. And that's exactly what has happened in my life. Some people give way under the pressure of persecution. Some people give way under the pressure of materialistic success. In the book of Proverbs, we see two verses that help us understand what this means. The first one is, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Whoops. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So again, we have a warning of what happens during our testing. I guess to summarize all of this up, it's just that I felt the Lord was giving us an assurance that the tests that we are going through have a very divine purpose. If we will allow them to do as they are designed to do, we will indeed come forth as gold. That none of this is easy, and it's not meant to be. Some of the things that the Lord surfaces in the character, I don't know about you, but they're not pretty. And allowing those things to be crucified is a very, it's difficult, it's painful. But as they keep dying away, the end result is, wow, pretty amazing. And all we need to do as we go through this is keep our eyes fixed on Him. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that can get a little tricky if we're really having a hard test. That keeping your focus on Him can. But to me, the most amazing part is that the Holy Spirit reminds you, as you're going through that hard place, all of a sudden you can just bring yourself back and get focused again. And if it takes 10 times, it takes 10 times. You bring yourself back and get focused again until it completes its work. That's what He gave me to share. Yeah?
I've got something. I had a dream last night. And in the dream, I came to see Pastor. And when I came in the door, his office happened to be over there somewhere.
So it wasn't here?
No, it wasn't here.
Oh.
But I came in the door, and I was looking for him, and there was an office over to the side. And the door was closed. And behind the door was coming this loud, 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 loud music. Praise music. So I stood there a second, and he must have known that I came in somehow, so he opened the door. And the look on his face was, he didn't understand what he was doing with that, all that going on, but he was going with the flow of it. He was just doing what he knew God wanted him to do. So he came out and he had a big smile. And we started talking a little bit. And I don't remember what it was about. Mustn't have been important. And we started to talk, and I was concerned about something. That's why I had gone to see him. So we talked a little bit, and then he brought me, and then I saw it was all green grass. And he brought me to an area and had me lay down on my back. And he said some more things, which I have no recollection of it. And then in the dream, I saw him a little, you know, further away from me. He was also laying on the green grass on his back. And I was like looking toward him. And as I'm looking toward him, I see this bunch of people in the middle, and they're like the snickering, the mocking, the whatever else they're doing. And we just kind of looked at him at different times, and it was like, and we just laid back down, right? And then I remember, the only thing I remember in the dream, I said, Pastor, why does it have to be so hard? This is so hard. Just what you were saying. Yeah. I said, why does it have to be so hard? And he said, that I remember, he said, oh, but look at all you've learned. That was the end of the dream. Oh, no, there was another little part, which I don't know if... Next to his head was a green frame of a Jeep, just the frame of it. And some wind came and picked it up and flipped it over. And there's a lot of commotion and all, and I'm looking at him, and he's
calm in the midst of the storm.
And all I could think of was Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And that was the dream. But it was the same thing that you were saying, Gail, about
why is it
so hard? And it's like, oh, but what you've learned. And I also remember, a side note, years ago saying to the Lord, why is it so difficult? Why is it so hard? And he said, he has a sense of humor. We all know that. And he said to me, I never promised you a rose garden, darling. I mean, look what I went through. Do you really think you're going to just skip through this?
Yeah, no.
And it was funny. And then I asked him again, why is it so hard? And he said, everybody was doing it, Dar. You know, if it was so easy, everybody be doing it. Mm-hmm. So I guess there was something in that. If it was so easy, everybody be doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's going to require.
It's going to require something, and only certain people will go through it.
It's going to require all of you. It's going to require.
And not everybody is willing to go through
that. And that's what he was saying. If it was easy, Dar, everybody be doing it. It's not easy, so you notice some people don't want any part of it because it's not easy. They want the easy road. You know, there's the narrow and there's the wide, you know? Mm-hmm. The wide is your easy road, and everybody's running down there because it's real easy. But then the narrow road is not so easy, but it's closed in, and there's a sense of security in that, I guess, you know, in the narrowness of it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, it makes the point.
Well, that's what I had said to Gail. We were having our little conversation about tonight, and I said, because I hadn't heard anything from the Lord, nothing. So I sent her a message. I said, why does it have to be so, is it supposed to be this difficult or something?
No, you said hard. Is it supposed to be this hard?
It's the dream.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I guess we're all saying the same thing. Why does this have to be
so? No, she thought something would just drop in, but it wasn't dropping in.
It was dropping.
No.
And then I after I sent the message, I went up and I went to the sink and I said, Lord, I don't understand. Why is this hard? And what he said to me was, where's your faith? Hmm. So then it was after that, she sent me a message back saying, you know, it is supposed to be this hard. And
Just for the message here.
The message was on faith.
Because that's exactly what it was. It is supposed to, because that's what he's saying.
And it's not what we want to hear. We don't want to hear that it's going to be hard. We don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I think if I had been told what I was going to go through,
right.
I wonder if I would have, you know, what I would have, I don't know what I would have said.
That's why he says count the cost, but how can you count the cost when you don't know? It's like you get into it and it's like, oh, wow, it's like...
I didn't know it was going to be like this.
Yeah, it's like you promised, you told me, you told me that you were going to do it. Let's go. So, it's not by might, not by power anyway.
I was prompted to look up some scriptures about faith.
Okay,
so
good.
I got just a couple, and, you know, there's quite a few scriptures.
Yeah.
But the first one was... Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Hmm.
It's not something you can touch.
No, not touch, not see, no.
That's right.
No.
And then in Hebrews 11 again, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's really...
That's God.
Yeah, that's very sobering.
Yes.
Amen.
Hmm.
Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Amen.
Hmm.
1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
So we're not supposed to, you know, depend on this up here or somebody else. We've got to depend on him. 1 John 5:5, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Mm. And then John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them.
I frequently ask for those rivers to come up. Come forth, rivers of living water, come up.
Mm-hmm. He can do that.
I say that a lot. Because I know they're in there, but they've got, of course, what they've got to come through is a soul that's
right.
Got some...
resisting.
Yeah.
And it says you have eternal life. Eternal life.
Right. Anything, Anne? Do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. It's all right. Susan?
I'm going to want to read that poem. It's strange. He's not related to Joseph Prince, but he has that same last name.
Oh, he was born long before Joseph Prince. He's already gone home to the Lord.
Oh.
Yeah. He was back in the 40s.
Oh.
Yeah.
The 40s?
Yeah. Yeah. Because when he first got this revelation, he was in a hospital over in World War II, over in the Mideast. He was in a hospital, and that's when he began to get this revelation.
Okay.
Anything to add, Sammy?
Well, you know, Darlene, as you were speaking the dream, I was really blessed because it reminded me of the Emerald Plain that... ...that Patrick had mentioned, and Susan, they were our guest speakers when they first had come. And it just gave me like that sense of, in order for, Lord had put me a lot in like hinds feet and high places, and Lord had me reading a lot, what was it, Lord? Where it says God gives you hinds feet for high places, and what that looks like. And the reminder of, Sam, it's this hard, it's funny because yes, I have been asking. I was like, but Lord. and that reminder of, it has to be hard in order for you to grow. If not, you won't grow because you'll stay within your comfort zone.
Right.
And all growth is outside of that comfort zone.
Yes.
It's only when we push. And it's funny you say about faith. Now, I haven't mentioned this to House of Prayer. A few people who are present might know, only because cats out of the bag. They were with me throughout working out and things like that. But I have been on a journey to try and be healthier and take care of my temple and things like that. And the Lord had me in a place where He wanted me to believe for something that I couldn't see. And we think, and that's what faith is. You have to believe. And it's a lot harder when you're face-to-face in the mirror and God is asking you to declare some pretty radical things that you don't see or that you've never seen, but God wants you to say it and believe it and then take a step of faith and do it. So it's really interesting. And it happened in little gradual steps and, you know, then more leaps and things like that. But I truly believe that it gets progressively more difficult only because our endurance grows and God knows that we're ready for that next leap. Even though we might not feel it, but I do believe that. You know, He hasn't made me fall yet, so.
Oh, you're just confirming it's not easy, it's hard. Yeah, it is.
But I'm grateful that I took that narrow road, that's all I have to say.
I think it gets progressively harder in some ways and progressively easier in some ways because you have a backlog of continuing to trust in Him and you've seen the result. If you keep your eyes focused on that.
I agree. I think focus has a lot to do with it too.
What I find is one of the tests, especially I'm going through, the more I keep persevering in that test, it gets easier. But in the beginning, it was not easy. I had to keep going back to it and back to it and push through it and push through it. I'm still pushing through it. But it does become, I don't know if the word is easy or I'm just realizing that the faith is there to go through that area. It just keeps happening.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, whoops, yeah, I can do that now.
Right. Oh, if it's a new area, you're like, where did this come from? Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. This isn't right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's submission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you step out and start going through it, it's amazing that the faith just keeps happening and you suddenly realize you can walk through this. But the walking through is
hard.
Not fun.
Very hard. Well, that's where it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit, he says.
Yeah.
You know, we're not walking in our own ability and our own strength and our own great ideas. We're walking in by the Spirit. This is the way. Walk here. No, I don't want you over there. I want you here.
Yeah.
Walk here. Right. Till I tell you to take a turn, till I tell you to stop. Just keep walking.
And when you take the wrong turn, it's like, whoops.
Well, you lost your focus. Get your focus back.
That one was wrong. Let's go back over
there. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, very definitely.
And which is what you said, to keep your focus right on Him at all times.
But boy, is there a lot of distractions to try to pull you off of that focus.
The emotions, right?
Yeah.
The emotions.
The emotions are hard to handle. Yeah, they are. And other things. Other things that our soul became dependent on. And as He begins to remove those, oh my goodness, wow.
Well, you get afraid because you don't know what's going on.
Like, right, well, yeah, because He's removing that.
Yeah, and it's like
putting me in. Without realizing it, gee, I asked Him to do that, and it's like, whoo, whoo, that's going. Now what? Yeah. Yeah, it's...
It would be like if I was going home and then I'm still thinking about, oh, I don't have clothes. And then I remind myself not to be stressed. And what about my emotions start to get that feeling back where I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep turning the other way to Jesus and, you know, keep hearing His word and coming to church and getting people's advice.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, amen.
I have to keep reminding myself of that.
Oh yeah, we all
keeping
do.
Myself.
We all do.
Not too much at home with my light off, and sometimes I think I need a little bit of light in there,
mm-hmm.
so that way I can, you know, be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the harder something gets or the more you walk out in faith, I think there's more of an exercise of authority that God will give you. And sometimes that can be uncomfortable. Because, like, when he puts you in a place of responsibility or authority, you know, like, walking that out and believing that, you know, that is of God, that can be challenging.
Mm-hmm. I believe in that he's there with you to support you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we end all services, share some hugs with each other.
Amen. What button do I push here, Peggy? Oh, stop. That should be pretty obvious. Right?
Yeah.
Just push that?
Yeah.
Just push that?
Yeah.
Just push that?
Yeah.